my motor's down and I'm losing $10,000 every hour that this motor, this crusher motor, I need a new crusher motor.
With the crusher motor.
One 24 non-explosive with a C-flange and a T-frame and whatever. And...
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmere. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. Today, listeners, we have a very special guest with us. We have Cole from a podcast called Warrior Women. Is that correct?
Warrior Women with a Purpose.
With a Purpose. All right. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. I'm excited. Weather's beautiful and no complaints.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Yeah, so we heard about you from actually the owner of Funkadelic Studios. This is where our podcast is recorded, and she was raving about you and what you do. And you actually have two different businesses.
You know, I have a lot, and I used to, from so many people saying, you can't be a jack of all trades. You can't be a jack of all trades. Mm-hmm. You need to be a master of one.
Mm-hmm. And I disagree with that.
I do too.
Yeah.
No, and I'll tell you why, because that's not actually my purpose to master anything. I'm here to experience.
Okay.
So the starting of the podcast was to share all of the people that I've met that are masters at what they do, because I was just being a Jack or Jill of a trade. So it actually has worked to my benefit. I love it.
Yeah. So I took a look at the podcast. I listened to some of them. And you have different women who are on that you said actually are experts in whatever field and their experience as a woman in getting to where they are.
Yes. I mean, it's everything from a social media expert who's one of the top in the country and was one of the first to build online communities, mm-hmm. to a professional scuba diver that literally she travels the world, does underwater photography, left
Are
a cushy job.
Yeah, I want to do that.
She had an amazing job at Google, and she worked really hard to get there and realized that wasn't the thing for her, and she wanted to scuba dive for a job. And, it took time and energy, but now she's the biggest scuba diving website.
That's wow. Cool.
She's like a million users a month, wow. Imprints a month, and now travel boards fly her to their countries, so that's partially how she'll make money, to make videos. So she has her, little flying drones and...
Oh my
that's
God.
Really it's cool.
She's really evolved into this
How do you
killer
find
business.
Your guests? Is it through all the things that you've done in your life? And these are people that you've had professional or, like friend...
Exactly. So I've had multiple careers already.
Oh, what have you done?
Well, I can give you a decent Cliffs Notes to go for.
Okay.
For sure. I mean, by the time I was 23, I already had experienced more than most people. I actually grew up, I was an at-risk youth. I didn't graduate from high school. I dropped out and started selling drugs because it was a lot more money.
Mm-hmm.
I was living out on my own and working a full-time job plus time and a half, and realized that my 14 hours a day working overnight was not garnering that much money, and
wow.
It wasn't really enough for me to survive, and got into the scene of ecstasy and Special K, some of these designer club drugs. We're
mm-hmm.
talking early 2000s.
Yeah, I was going to say, yes, back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there wasn't a whole lot of information out there. The internet wasn't what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
You could find some things, but certainly, Google isn't what it used to be,
right?
For the positive. And from there, I actually overdosed into a coma.
Oh, no.
And actually not from overuse, but from someone trying to chemically recreate a drug that was a chemistry student at a university. So I was poisoned, really.
Oh, my God.
So that landed me in a coma. From there, I just, for a while, I wasn't sure what I was going to do, but I knew that I couldn't stay in that lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I saw myself as a smart drug user. I knew the effects, how long I should wait for serotonin to rebuild. I really wasn't a abuser, if that's even an appropriate term. I didn't use a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I was very, I thought, smart in
mm-hmm.
how I did it.
Being judicious with your
yeah.
dosage
exactly.
and timing
yeah.
things.
Right. And so that made me realize there's no smart way. to navigate that space. It's mm-hmm. still dangerous. So I did Miss Utah Teen, became Miss Utah Teen, competed at Miss Teen USA.
Are you from Utah?
I'm from Utah. Okay.
You're kidding. So you were on your own working, then having this additional, this burden of
everything.
Recreational drugs. Yeah. And
then went to pageantry.
3 months later, after being clean, the... You know, they always have a platform or mm-hmm. a purpose. And it was drug education for these club drugs that were becoming so prevalent in Utah.
I know nothing about the pageant world, I'm going
to
say right now. That's not what I thought.
I mean, there's not a whole
about.
Lot to know.
I didn't know that they had a mission.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. Well, and they actually, a lot of them are very involved in service in their communities, and a lot mm-hmm. of them offer scholarships.
That I knew about, the scholarship
yes.
part.
So it can be a huge opportunity for women to become newscasters, communication. You get used to interview. In training, so there's a lot of opportunity from that. For me, it was knowing that if I didn't put myself in a position that I was in the spotlight, I didn't have anything to hold on to keep me from going back to that other lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So this was me manipulating myself mm-hmm. to shifting out of where I was. And the platform that they had was to speak at schools about drug education. And I mm-hmm. said, well, let me tell you. Yeah. Anyone's going to tell them it should be
That's the best person, I think, to hear it from, especially when you're a young person. You don't want to hear from someone who's some old conservative fogey who's never smoked a joint.
For sure.
You want to hear from someone who's had experience.
Well, and this was towards more of the end of the D.A.R.E. program. A lot of schools were not doing it as much anymore. Mm-hmm. So they really needed something to get the message out. So I actually, that year I ran the Olympic torch for the 2002 Olympics because the governor's wife mm-hmm. heard me speaking. They gave me a day of recognition, all these things.
Wow.
But
oh my God.
That phase of my life, though, was really tumultuous because I was really doing service to try to make up for all the terrible things I had done. It was like I was trying to save my soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though it wasn't directly my fault, I really understood the impact of selling drugs at the level that I was and to suburban kids. I knew the market. I was an entrepreneur, unfortunately, mm-hmm. a little misguided or, you know, surviving, whatever.
Well, it sounds like you were surviving. If you were on your own very, very early.
I mean, I could have been with my parents. It's not like they didn't say you can't be here. They said you can't be here like this.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And so I said, okay, then I'm out. So it wasn't, that was an option, but it wasn't to me. So it really came down to, from there, I did all the major circuits in Montel Williams, and I actually helped the UN create a program over in Kosovo for the youth there.
Wow.
So this was a huge part of my life, but I was miserable, and I was getting like 200 emails per day. For help. And
that's a burden.
That's a lot.
I get
19.
One email a day, and I'm like, no, I can't help you with that.
I was not equipped, right? Yeah, I mean, I didn't have any degrees or training. It was just really offering help, but it put me in such a place of despair because I didn't remember the people I helped. I only was counting the ones I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like I was never doing enough. So I realized by the time I was like 21, I was making $5,000 per hour speaking engagements. So
what?
If you're, 2021, like that's crazy.
Yeah.
And
I know what I would have been doing with that money and nothing good.
Yeah.
Really. At 21, if I'd gotten my hands on that much money.
Well, listen, I moved to New York City at 19 by myself. I got signed to a big management company. At the time was managing Britney Spears. So his name was Larry Rudolph. Larry had an assistant. I got signed to her. So I was thinking, I was Miss Utah Teen. I'm on the up and up. Now life's going to be easy. And 6 months later, I got dropped from the management company. So then I was in New York City. And I moved here by myself. I was 19. I didn't know anyone. So the money I was making didn't feel like that much because I was living here by myself.
Yeah, that goes fast.
Yeah.
And having to sublet and pay lots of months in advance because no one wanted to rent to a 19-year-old.
Yeah.
With no cosign and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'd usually have to pay 6 months up front for rent.
Wow.
That's crazy.
It was a lot. But I was willing to do it. Then I knew I was, secured and whatever. So from there, I stayed in New York City for 4 years. But I became a full-time bartender, and Don't get me wrong, it was a great time to be a bartender. I made $90,000 that year.
What year? When
the last year, 2004 to 2005.
Ah, so yeah. Before the recession.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I was, you know, for a kid, I was making crazy money. Mm-hmm. And my friends are in school, and I'm like, that's not the way for me.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And at that time, too.
Yeah, that was just sure. Thing. Yeah, money was rolling around at that time.
Right. Yeah, and I had kind of a series of traumatic events. I'd had lots of them in my life. And after being pretty brutally raped in New York City in about 2000, I was 20 when that happened.
Oh, my God.
But I could not leave with that, because my parents, of course, were like, come home.
Yeah.
And I couldn't. I said, if I leave now, every time I see a New York sign, every time I see a taxi cab, mm-hmm. I need to create new memories of this place. And when I'm ready to leave, I will. But it's not now. So I ended up staying for another like 2 years.
Do it on your own terms and not let that be the thing to make a decision for you.
Yeah.
Yes, you make your own decisions.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was an intense time because you know, I had to wear a wire and work with the police and trying to get the guy to admit it and, you know, just facing him again and all these things. Because it was someone I worked with, you know, someone that worked at a job. And literally the district attorney's office in New York City, he literally guilted me into believing that because that I had been drinking, how do I really know it's not what I wanted?
Oh my gosh.
This is so going on today.
It is.
Unfortunately.
And it's something that, you know, I was 20. So I really, the amount of like betrayal I was feeling, the guy that I was dating said, what did you do to attract that to yourself? It was that stereotypical, you know, worst case scenario from the male counterparts.
Yeah.
That being said, it was challenging, painful for sure, but I was a musician and I wrote some incredible music, and the most amazing music comes from the depths of despair. That's, you know, that's the one that transforms and helps people the most. And so from that point at 22 and a half, give or take, I moved back to Utah. Mm-hmm. I called my dad one day and I said, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm bartending. This isn't the life for me. My shifts were 14 hours. I was making a lot of money, but my shift was 4 p.m. to work the dinner shift until about 6 a.m. Because at 11 p.m. it turned into a club.
Oh, right. Yes.
How was that even legal?
That's off the books.
Yeah.
Right?
See, I haven't really done restaurant work.
A lot of restaurants, they do that after the dinner is over. They turn it into a club.
Yeah. And this place doesn't even exist anymore. Mm-hmm. But, you know, back then we were paid under the table.
Of course. Yeah.
So that's why my take home was $90,000. You know? Sorry, tax guys. It was a long time ago. It's not my fault. It was a kid.
We both have had friends who work in the restaurant industry. I remember when I was a student, I'm looking at all my friends. I'm like, how do you guys have so much money all the time? And guess what?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, there's only so many ways at certain ages and with certain jobs that you can survive in a place like this.
And restaurant work is one of them.
Yeah. And so I moved back to Utah 6 days later, met a guy my parents loved. Said maybe I was wrong about my life and my parents are right. They like him. So I married him 6 months later. That lasted a couple years.
Okay, yeah, I don't know where the story ends.
Yeah, you know, I met a very wounded, hurt person when I was a very wounded, hurt person. And 5 years into it, I guess I was around 27, I started actually getting more into self-work. Mm-hmm. And actually working with, like, medicine men from tribes and working with plant medicines in other countries.
So previously you were just working with your own, like, working with yourself, just dealing with these things on your own?
Yes.
Wow.
Okay. I never did. You know, I tried therapy, and I could not find a therapist that I felt was authentic. Mm-hmm. I felt their desire to help was genuine, but their ability to hold the space for the stuff I had endured wasn't authentic. I needed someone with serious depth and compassion and empathy. And I could see them trying, which was sweet.
Yeah.
But it really wasn't.
It wasn't working for you.
Because I shared my story so much, that was a lot of my therapy. Mm-hmm. I've always been very upfront about my story. And the thing that was interesting is up until this point, I mean, I would read anything I could read. I would just share. I would connect to people. And it was then that I realized that when I had used substances as a teenager, it was never to numb myself or to not feel the pain. It was to connect. It was because of isolation and pain I was feeling. That's what got me to connect to other humans and feel like someone understood. Mm-hmm. So up until that point, I mean, I didn't smoke weed. There was none of that going. I mean, I still don't smoke weed. It's not my, you know, mm-hmm. not because of a judgment thing. It's just not my thing.
Yeah.
But really that transformed my life to realize that I wasn't in that. I was a once an addict, always an addict mentality that had been projected on me. Mm-hmm. It was actually that I needed human connection. So all I ever needed to do was fulfill that need and I would feel complete. So from there, at the end of that marriage, I decided to move to Austin, Texas. I'd been there once. I got a last-minute show to play South by Southwest.
Yeah, I was going to say, were you doing music this entire time?
And that's it, yeah. I started again in 2009. Okay. I played a little bit in New York.
What do you play? What is it?
I play guitar and sing. Mm-hmm. Okay. The styles have varied from pop rock to, like, country rock because of Austin. I definitely got that influence. And in 2009, I decided I was going to do music full-time. At the time, I was doing inside sales for a motor generator company in Salt Lake City.
I'm not even sure what that
is. Exactly. Yeah. I'm still not, and I worked there. Yeah.
Sales.
Well, he sales picked sales. Me up from working as a sales rep at T-Mobile. And working at T-Mobile, one of the other stores got robbed at gunpoint. And I said, oh, I don't make enough money for that stuff. If that happened to me, I'd be out of here.
Yeah.
3 weeks later, I got robbed at gunpoint at the store.
Oh, my God.
I'm not surprised. It's a big problem.
Well, you know,
people think they're going to get something, and a lot of the times they're stealing just empty cases.
At that time, they knew how much cash was at cell phone stores.
Oh, the cash.
People taking payments, right? Because that's we're taking cash payments. Now they've incorporated lots of time lock safes and safety precautions. And so when that happened, I looked at the sky and said, I got it. I understand. It's time for me to move on. And one of my last days in the store, this gentleman came in, and I was multitasking. I'm a very people person. He said, man, I wish I had someone like you at my company. I said, well, I'm like me. Let's talk. He gave me his card, and he said, we're looking for an inside sales manager. I was like, great. I go home, hop online. I'm doing research. It's all electrical engineering. I'm like, I didn't even graduate from high school.
Yeah, yeah. What is inside sales? I don't even know what that is.
I manage the salesmen that go out to meet with the clients.
Okay.
So their sales. So if, like, say someone can't get a hold of them, they get a hold of me.
Okay.
I watch their clients, their orders coming in.
Yeah, follow up with all the details of an order.
So you're managing people,
yes.
And then you're also outward facing as well.
Yes.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. It was. And so I was looking online, and he said, come in with a number. I'm like, I don't know.
I tell you, that's the thing where they're like, you tell me what you're worth. You know what you're worth. But I can't.
I never asked enough, even when I feel like
Here's what I did. I looked at how much they make, right? Electrical engineers is what I went for. And I said, all right, well, I'm going to come in with the top number because we're going to negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
Came in with the top number, and they gave it to me.
Wow.
I was like, oh, wow, now I actually have to perform.
Oh, man.
But I told him, I said, look, I don't know anything about electrical engineering. And he said, well, that's not a problem. I can teach you that part. I cannot teach what you have. Mm-hmm. And that's the most valuable part. So I was like, all right, whatever you say, pal, I'm in,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I've always been good at relationships. So if a customer called in, you know, I'd have a good old boy from the South calling me from the middle of West Texas, you know, telling me, you know, my motor's down and I'm losing $10,000 every hour that this motor, you know, this crusher motor, I need a new crusher motor.
With the crusher motor.
124 non-explosive with a C-flange and a T-frame and whatever. And I would have no idea what they're saying to me, but I would write down and I'd be like, 1 second, I've got another call coming in. Can you hold on? Yeah. I'd run out to the motor shop, which is across the parking lot, and go to the guys and go, I would just point to the sheet. I have no idea what this guy just said. Do we have it? And, you know, I would buy them beers and, you know, like I always treated them well and they always treated me well. So I never had a wrong order. I came in and took dominance over people that had been there for 20 years because I wasn't burned out. Mm-hmm. And it was exciting at first.
And you get money.
And it was good money. Yeah. But 6 months into it, I was driving to work and this voice in my head was just like, if you overcorrect the wheel, you won't have to go. And I was just like, whoa, I need to get out of this job.
Yeah.
You know, like for those kinds of thoughts to come in, it means that, you know, I'm actually thinking about hurting myself so that I don't have to.
When you want to, you know, when you're going into a situation and you're thinking, I'd rather shoot myself in the face. That's that kind of thing.
That's like yeah, if I broke my leg, I don't have to go anywhere.
Someone hit me right now, or something fell on me, I wouldn't have to go.
That was the moment in my life that I decided I would make my choices of exit instead of the universe, because up to that point, every time I said, if that happened, I'd be out of here. It happened.
Wow.
So I was just like, I'm not going to live in this space.
So oddly, you were so in line with the universe because whatever you thought of was actually happening quickly.
I am a manifester. I will tell you.
But they say that's the way it is, though. If you're thinking about it, that's likely coming down the pipeline.
Yeah.
It's not as random
as
you
think. That's also why I believe so many terrible things happened to me, because I believed that that's what I deserve. And that's what my life was about.
So how do you turn that thinking around then? How do you get that? Because if you're thinking these things and it's so comfortable to have these kinds of thoughts, and we all have them.
How do we manifest ourselves on the beach?
You know? Yeah, and to unlimited, you know, funds coming in.
It took from becoming very, very conscious that when those thoughts started to come in, I now have a choice to work with it. Under my terms. Otherwise, it was going to be under some other ones. And I had some awesome mentors call me on it and call me on being a victim. And in my mind at first, I remember the harshness of one man in particular that was a boss at one point. And I was writing a book about my story because so many people said, you should write a book. You should write a book. So I did, and I started reading it to him. And he said, can you knock it off with this victim bullshit? And I was like,
what do you mean I'm a victim? How did you even say that?
I was like, these things have been. Yeah. I mean, these are legitimate issues.
Yeah.
And he said, the thing is, Cole, it's at the surface and it's right under your skin. You think you're going deep and it's complete bullshit. This is not really who you are, and you're making it who you are.
That's some nice feedback, though, right?
It was. Yeah. And everything he said.
It's harsh, but hey, had to be said.
I took everything he said, even though there was the wound. That's when I started to go, you know what? The truth is, because I've shared the story this way, that's also the people I attract as wounded people. Mm-hmm. I was reliving the most depressing, saddest parts of my life over and over again.
Yeah, it's like when I've been to a Tori Amos concert.
Yeah.
My husband really loves Tori Amos, and I stopped going to the concerts because I just started to feel bad.
Yeah.
You know? All that hurt was hanging out there.
Yeah.
Right.
So you keep attracting the same situations in because you're not resolving whatever this is.
Just knowing that it's okay to be happy. So often we will end up in a good relationship, a good job, and we sabotage it. Mm-hmm. For a number of reasons,
well,
but in a
someone
million
else does,
ways.
Something else happens. Yes. I prefer to sabotage it myself.
Totally.
They got the four R's.
Honestly, a lot of it comes down to feeling that's what we deserve. Karma. We hurt someone else. I obviously did something wrong. Mm-hmm. And so this is the consequence or the punishment.
And it's like you don't even know what the consequence really is. You know, the consequences, some are, you know, very direct. Like if you walk out in the rain, you're going to get wet. But there is other consequences for things that aren't so great that aren't related.
But I think a lot of us are taught, and I kind of got this message when I was younger. I don't know if you guys did that. If you did something wrong, there will be a consequence for it, but you might not know what it is and you might not be able to connect it. So then you always are trying to think, Is this the consequence to this thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when you're a child, it's something like, you know, maybe you did something mean to your cousin, and then a couple days later you trip and fall and, like, crack your head. And then you're like, oh, maybe that's the... Because you're just trying to make a connection.
Well, we're always trying to find meaning
between
with everything that happens to us. And so breaking those patterns, for me, has had everything to do with getting mentors and people that were... in a place I wanted to be. And that doesn't, for me, I don't believe that we ever should cut out any part of ourselves or not keep it. For me, it's a reassigning its position in my life. So I don't want to necessarily get rid of the critic voice because it can serve me at times to be, to work hard. It's knowing when it becomes abusive. And literally having to have conversations with myself in those times that say my mind is being really mean to just be like, okay, I hear you and I'm listening and here's what I'm going to do anyway. You don't need to be so cruel. I don't deserve this. And literally talking to myself. And in times that I am unable to do that, having mentors or someone that I can call and say, I feel like hurting myself and not be judged and not be treated as if I am mentally ill. And I think that was a huge key for me because the thing was a lot of my thoughts my entire life, I kept to myself because if I openly communicated it, I saw what happened to people. They got hospitalized. They were sick. They were, you know, put on psychotic medications. And
it was very popular during the time period that we're talking about.
This is when ADD was becoming the thing. You know, they were trying to put me on Ritalin. They were trying to put me on these different things as a teenager, Adderall.
Ritalin came, as I was working with, I'm a little bit older than you, not that much, but enough to have seen it. And you probably saw it, too.
Yes.
I remember when they were passing out Ritalin, like candy.
Yes.
It was Ritalin for younger people, and then if you were a little bit older, like around Katie and my age, Prozac.
Yes. Oh, Prozac was the thing.
Zoloft. Yeah. They were like, okay, if you're in your 20s, Prozac. If you're in your teens, Ritalin.
Right.
Well, and in Utah especially, they have the most antidepressants per capita.
I've read that. Why is that?
I think that it's this need to, or this comparison of perfection. They also have the most plastic surgery than anywhere else in the country.
I was shocked by that. In my mind, I
you think Miami or LA?
Yeah, I think of Utah as being a more like centered kind of place in terms of the
culture. Well, is it the idea of going for that perfect life, that perfect family life? You be perfect and you're
perfect
fit in,
body. Perfect. Yes.
Yeah, that doesn't for me. That I don't think about that for Utah. Obviously, I'm mistaken. I've never been there.
I don't have a friend in New York City with breast implants. In Utah, I have very few that don't.
Wow.
And that's
so there's a huge industry behind that as well, though.
Yes, I got breast implants at just before my 19th birthday.
What?
Yeah, not now. I got them removed. I actually just got them removed 6 months ago.
Oh, good for
after,
you.
Well, after discovering they're making a lot of women sick and causing cancer.
Yes.
It was on the front page of the Times this week. And there's been a lot of pushback from the medical, you know, from plastic surgery where they say, well, no, it doesn't cause cancer. But the implants that went back out on the market, they were removed in the late 90s because women were getting cancer.
Yeah.
All they did was change the casing, but it's still silicone. Even if you had saline inside, it's silicone on the outside. And saline is not supposed to be above a certain temperature. Your body heat takes it like 15 degrees hotter. So they're starting to find mold in the implants.
Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness.
Which
oh
means
my God.
If it ruptures, you're getting black mold released into your body. So, and they've put out silicone now, again. And this is partially where these cancers, these rare lymphomas are being linked.
All I'm saying is get a good bra. Put some falsies on. I have a lot of friends who are, you know, wear the chicken cutlets, as we call them. They just stuff them in the bra.
And you know
what?
And if you're straight, then a lot of guys don't care. They really don't.
They really don't.
To be perfectly honest, if they do, they're not the guy for me anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we have enough to fear as women that, what, if you get breast cancer in 15 years, that he's going to leave or something?
Right, right.
And I'm sorry, but there are way more men that don't take care of themselves than women.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But I always just hear from guys when I ask them, they're like, well, we don't care. They don't. As long as we can get our hands on it, we don't care.
Listen, they are more concerned on if they're getting a blowjob than the size of your boobs.
Yeah, that's what they're after.
I mean, you know, it's like a, you know, that's the truth of
it is. That's all that guys dream about. Really. I'm really kind of generalizing, but I think I'm right.
That's more important than do you have fake tits, I feel like.
Well, and honestly, when my health, so one of the common threads with breast implant, they're calling it breast implant illness. You can Google it now. There's one Facebook group that's almost 20,000 women that are...
Whose health has been damaged by...
Yes. There's 100 a week getting explant, that's what it's called, to remove them, whose health is immediately, in the majority, changing within 72 hours. From autoimmune disorders, Hashimoto's, things that look like Lyme's disease, but it's not testing on the scale, but it has all of... It's presenting like Lyme disease. And in retrospect, because I had them for 15 years, I had thyroid issues, one of the symptoms. I had fibromyalgia, one of the symptoms.
God. Oh, boy.
Your body becomes inflamed because it's
trying to fight those things out.
Yes, and it's creating capsules, which lowers your immune system because it's busy encapsulating. Just like with medical devices, this isn't like a shocking
stents and
reveal.
That kind of thing.
Yes. So the body is trying to get rid of it, which lowers your immune system. So when I discovered this, I was like, they got to go. Get them out.
Oh, my God.
I've wanted them out for, I mean, really since right after I got them. They were uncomfortable. Every time I would hug someone, it was like I would just feel a pressure in my chest because it's not tissue. And
I'm so glad that we're talking about this. This is horrifying, but I think necessary.
Yes, yes, yes.
There are so many stories of women that are, I mean, also heartbreaking. Women that have had mastectomies, beat cancer, get implants, get this lymphoma.
They push it on you now.
I know.
It used to be that they would try to do with falsies or...
Nope. That's the go-to.
Yeah, now as soon as you have something, they're like, oh, just get the implants. No big deal.
Well, and with mothers, instead of getting a lift, they'll say, no, just get implants. Because, first of all, it's a lot easier for them. They can turn over money quickly.
Lift is quite intensive from whatever.
Yes,
and I have friends who have had reductions.
Also really intense.
Not for cosmetic reasons. For
back issues.
Yes.
And they are quite happy with what they have. And they haven't had any problems with it at all. Even had the sensation come back, which is a concern.
It is a concern. And, you know, it is with putting implants in as well. It is a concern. It actually doesn't happen that frequently that women lose sensation.
I'm horrified. I need that sensation.
For me, the idea that back then that was even something that was being done, I didn't pay for my implants. So, that's another podcast.
Not another podcast.
But
that's right.
If someone says, do you want some, tits at 18, you're like, sure.
Sure. That
happens a lot. I lived in Aspen at 21. And that's...
Did they offer you free tits?
Nobody had to offer me. I'm pretty much in jail.
Katie and I are okay on that front.
No, but a lot of the women there, very, very thin, very slender, and the men in their lives would pay for some surgery.
Yeah. Listen, it looks good.
Yeah. I didn't start thinking about the dangers of it until I worked at a health and wellness website when Katie did some writing for them as well.
Yes.
And we started doing a little research, and the more I looked into it, the more I was like, oh my goodness, they need to really let people know about this.
Yes, and right? the biggest issue I have, because look, people know smoking causes cancer doesn't mean everyone's quitting smoking.
Yeah.
People will still get implants. My issue is, in particular, there's one gene mutation called MTFHR that if a woman has that, she's more likely to get poisoned from the silicone.
MTHFR. That runs in my family, too. I was just tested for that. I don't have it, but it's a mutation, and it causes a lot of problems. You can't absorb iron.
Right. So adding the implants guarantees pretty much that you're going to get insanely sick.
Yeah.
And you can't monitor it. So they're not even testing for that, right? Women that don't even know they have the gene.
I've never heard of that.
Oh, yeah.
Most people haven't.
I have no iron. Maybe
MTHFR, yes. You should take
a
look at
it. Can affect the way you eat, the kind of supplementation you need to have just to feel good.
Yeah.
Right. And it also causes other, if you have that mutation, you're also susceptible to schizophrenia, a host of other diseases and things.
No,
but that iron absorption is another, is very
an
big
issue.
Deal.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
so,
B's, B12, right? And the
B3.
B3.
It's one of the
some
other
bees.
Lots of bees.
Bees.
It's a whole show about bees.
Yeah.
So they don't even test for that, which, if they, I mean, that they know it's a problem, right?
And they're just keeping it under wraps.
Yeah, and if you go to, like mine were Mentor Saline, and I have no problem dropping the name because Mentor Saline, that's one
of
the main companies in the United States.
Yeah, sure.
If you go to their website, their studies only are for 10 years. And they only kept track of 40% of the women. They say they lost track.
No.
Yeah.
And it says
we all know how testing goes in the
of
medical
course.
Industry.
Yeah, they find all reasons to throw things
and
out.
We look at a lot of science-related stuff, and we see these tests, and it's like, we tested 27 people. I'm like, that's it? And based on 27 people, you've come up with some results that I'm supposed to accept? Okay,
right.
Fine.
Well, and even the women that even know about this and they're saying, I'm not taking my implants out. They're too important for me.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, if you get sick enough, nothing is that important anymore.
Yeah.
And my fatigue and exhaustion and I actually got up to 50 pounds overweight. And then I had hypothyroidism, arthritis in my knees. I had bad inflammation. So I got into fitness and into wellness like I am now.
To combat the
problem. Because of, yes. But I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know why no one else in my family had these things. It didn't make sense. But, right, I'm the victim. So, of course, it happened to me. And I had excuses. Oh, well, I'm tired all the time because I'm getting older now. And I teach group fitness classes, and I lost the 50 pounds, changed my diet, like, significantly, and that helped a lot because the inflammation, because we get a lot of inflammation from food. So between the implants and the food, I was so inflamed, and I look unhealthy. Like, you see pictures of me back then, and it's like, oh, juicy. But some people look healthy and thick.
Mm-hmm.
I looked toxic. You know, like my skin was puffy.
Mm.
And I was 26. You know, you don't look like that at 26 years old.
It's so disappointing because you're getting, you know, women are getting implants to feel better and to look good and to have those two things reinforce themselves. But it seems like there's really, you know, you can get a lift, you can get a reduction. That's pretty much it. Mm. You should maybe not be putting anything in.
Now they start doing, now they're doing where they actually do fat transfer, where they farm fat from your body, basically liposuction.
It's the ass fat boob job that we've talked about.
but that's what they're doing
now.
They take it from your belly and from your, you know, like your love handles and your lower back, from your thighs.
And they put it up front.
They put it up front.
Where it belongs.
Yes, where front and center.
So that at least isn't going to come with those risks.
Right.
There is a possibility your body will just metabolize the fat and you won't retain any of it.
Yeah.
So that's the thing on that.
Incredible shrinking boobs.
Yeah.
So it's like if you're going to do it, I would at least say go that route versus slicing your body open.
And putting a bag of saline inside of it,
which
freaked me out.
Yeah, it causes a lot of issues. And now, like, they have these newer ones that are called gummy bears that they always said are the safest.
Yeah, they're talking about those.
If those break open, the fluids in your body go in there and they dissolve and break up that gelatinous material. And you can find the videos on YouTube. There's one doctor that just put a video up, Dr. Urzola in Costa Rica, who's actually an incredible doctor for fat transfer.
Costa Rica, here we come.
Yeah, but it's like a healing retreat. That's kind of the new where things are going. And he's pulling this gummy bear out and it's all stuck in the woman's chest cavity.
Oh, my God.
That's 40 chemicals just
straight
into your bloodstream.
And they call it a gummy bear to try to make people feel
like,
right.
Oh, it's cute. It's cute and harmless and it's tasty.
Yeah.
I'll take two.
Cherry.
Right.
That's so crazy.
So that's been the last 6 months or so. And because I got so into fitness, I think my health, I'm huge on the intention thing. last summer, my husband and I decided that we were open to having children. He's already got a grown daughter, so I have grandchildren, which is awesome.
Wow.
That's why I go straight for the good stuff, people. Straight for the good stuff.
That's what I've heard, the way to go. I have some friends who they've gotten married, and the kid already baked in. They're like, sweet.
Yes.
Yes.
You know.
Well, prefabricated.
Yes. And his daughter's wonderful, and her husband is wonderful. Like, they're great. And so last summer, we made an announcement on Facebook. We're like, all right, we're open to having children. Doesn't mean we're trying yet, but we now feel like we're open to the idea.
Mm-hmm. Someone should send you a kid quickly.
Well, so then, because I believe in manifestation in the universe brings what you ask for, I changed my diet. I just wanted to be really clean. Mm-hmm. My health just kind of plummeted. I was having bad dizzy spells, my cognitive function. I was slurring my speech. I was getting rushed.
And you changed your diet?
Well, yes. But the thing was, I believe, because I was also working out more, lifting heavy, that squeezes the implants. So I think the high body temperature and then the compression made the capsule, because they do find the oils from the capsule in your skin. So I think...
Good God.
Yeah. What on earth?
So I think that because I was lifting heavy and really working out a lot.
Big strain.
Right. That it was basically pumping the chemicals through my body. And at one point, my husband rushed me to the hospital because my speech was slurring. And he was he's been a nurse for 25 years here in New York City in ERs. He's like, look, we can't mess around with this. If you're slurring your speech, it could be neurological.
Yeah, some neurological issues.
Yeah. And ever since the day I had my implants removed, that's all been gone. The dizziness has been gone. The nausea has been gone. So
crazy.
And my blood now, my thyroid is normal. So, and all of this happened within 24 hours.
Hey, you know it is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying the gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
And all of this is because they've gotten us into a situation where we feel like we have to alter our bodies to this, like, unachievable. Like, whatever breasts you have, it goes with your body. That's it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that it goes with whatever your shape. That's the way it's supposed to be. Well, you don't have to. That's why we have bras.
And
if you don't like the way it looks.
Right. And you have to look around and say, this is what human beings look like. Nobody looks like an airbrushed model.
They interviewed a model. I don't know if it was one of the Helena Christians. I don't know their names, but she said, or Christy Brinkley, and they said, like, I don't look like myself.
Yeah.
Like, no one looks like what you see that's out there in a magazine.
Well,
on the couch.
And the truth is, it's never what you look like. It determines how you feel.
Yeah.
It's the other way around.
Yeah.
So you can change all of that externally. But if you wake up feeling insecure, those boobs don't make you feel secure.
No.
That's not how it works.
And you're loved for... It doesn't matter. Everybody's loved. Somebody loves you.
For something.
For something. Yeah. And it's not because of the way you look. Think about little kids. They love, you know, their mothers, fathers, grandparents. No matter what they look like, you are loved and you don't need to look a certain way to get that love.
But we have a hard time applying that to ourselves.
Yeah.
So I think we know that for other people,
yes,
but for ourselves,
the truth is, there's lots of women in these Facebook groups whose husbands said, I don't know that I can stay with you if you remove them.
What?
That's real life.
Fast.
Right, but
I'd be hiding all the money.
I'd be removing you first and then the boobs.
Yeah.
Right.
This is the greatest weight loss you'll ever experience.
Yeah.
You know, and turnaround of health.
So bizarre.
But that's why any woman that listens to this podcast, and I will share it in any groups that I can for them to, you know, be able to hear it, is that if your reality is that you don't feel loved, first of all, the implants, you already don't feel loved now, right? So they didn't give you what you need. What you need is a new environment and open yourself up to the possibility that it can happen. But phase one is if someone said, I can't love you, I can't be with you if you don't have breasts, then you don't love me to begin with.
That so drives me insane. Yeah. So I want to get into what you do so now. So we heard all about you. Yes. Right. You're 42.
Right, right.
So 4 years ago, I decided to go attend a boot camp, which is a boot camp my husband was doing. I met him as when I was as a musician. We met at Caesar's Palace in Vegas. So what happens in Vegas stayed there, but then our relationship started here. So. Nothing happened there. I was newly divorced. So I decided to try this boot camp because it was something I had always been afraid of. And decided,
I'm afraid of those.
Yeah, I decided it was time to start going straight into the things I'm afraid of. And I knew that the more I did it, the less afraid. Or not less afraid, the easier it would be to navigate the fear. The fear never goes away. Just now I know it's just fear. And it's going to be there. And whatever. So 3 months into going to his classes, I was going also to his insanity classes, which is a beach body format. The Shanti.
That. Yeah, that's a pretty
intense. The word insanity is right for that.
It is. And after going for 3 months, he said, you should be an instructor.
Of insanity?
Of insanity. So a month later, I became an instructor. 2 years later, I was Beachbody's Instructor of the Year.
Wow.
So, I mean, I went in.
You're a badass.
Thank you. I went all in. Once I decide,
yeah.
That's it. And this is, meanwhile, doing music. That's why this master of one thing, forget it. You can keep it. Have fun. I'll have you on my show. I love it. I'm just not interested. So with the body curation, I got more into wellness and fitness. And realizing I can help people lose weight all day long. I mean, we run online fat loss groups to teach people about nutrition. Mm-hmm. I have one couple alone that each have lost over 30 pounds in 2 months.
Wow.
Our plans
just from
work.
The online?
Just from online. The thing is, losing fat is actually very, very easy. It's the mind that's very, very tricky. So the body curation is working with the inside and aligning the inside, and the body will align itself.
Because, so changing your mindset
and
your outlook.
Losing the fat is
most of it
easy.
Is actually forgiving ourselves for being imperfect. For to love ourselves when we don't do something the way we said we would or with the intention we thought. So the body curation is we want to align your body with what you want to do in life. We are not going to turn you into a bodybuilder if you're not going to go compete. If you're a mother in New York City, you need to have a strong enough body to carry your stroller up and down the stairs. If you want to be a professional golfer, we're going to get your body aligned and work with the muscle groups to support you being more successful in that. But honestly, the majority of it comes down to we facilitate people in their processes. We've both had a lot of trauma. Mm-hmm. And it's just as much having to do with aligning people's minds with just forgiving themselves, giving themselves permission to let themselves off the hook. And as we go through that process, the weight falls off. It's really just baggage. That's how we
see it. I like
the way that sounds.
So this is called, how do our listeners find this if they want to look into this a little more?
Well, the best thing is just to go to talkwholefitness.com and reach out. We're currently working on how to word it so that it translates more appropriately because it's a hard thing to explain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But our biggest focus we're moving into, which is going to start being more on the site, is trauma release exercises. Hmm. And
this is a topic we've tried to approach a couple of times, so maybe you should come back and talk about that.
Yeah, there's a certification by someone, by Dr. David Berselli, that it's been used in third world countries, in Sudan. He works with hundreds of people at a time that shows, and PTSD, and soldiers. And now what we're doing is we're working two-directional. We're working with your muscles, because when you feel strong, that helps transform the mind. But then we work with the trauma release exercises, because that releases from the inside out without story. It's just body. It's not therapy.
You don't have to go through the whole the mental process. Your body releases the trauma that it's holding inside.
It's letting the body man the ship for the intelligence. And then we do myofascial tissue release, which works from the outside in scar tissue. My biggest focus now is with women that have had miscarriages, abortions, C-sections, womb traumas, rape, in myofascial release in the gut, in the belly to break up scar tissue. A lot of emotions come out, but you don't always have to know the story. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they do, but it's literally the body being able to work it out of the nervous system. So it's something that has become a huge passion of ours, is really working from the inside. But it does require changing nutrition. So what we do, though, is we don't say, here's your diet, these are the rules. We say, here's the diet for the first month, because we're going to strip it down to a very simple process so that we can eliminate the toxins and inflammation and processed foods, so that as you work with your body, you know what is you and what was chemically induced emotions, because some foods cause that. So when people aren't working out and saying, I can't have this food because it's bad for me, they go, this is part of a plan so that I can get in touch with my gut instinct, so that I can learn to trust myself. It changes the approach.
This is fascinating. Yeah. So we're going to put a link up to that in our show notes, listeners. So you, all of you can explore this yourself and learn a little bit more about it.
Yeah, for and sure. We want to thank you so much for
coming. Oh, and the other one, too. And so your podcast, too.
Oh, wait, we didn't talk about the podcast.
Did talk about the podcast. Okay. You know, this is all of the types of issues and things that come up. So it's Warrior Women with a Purpose, or warriorwomenwithapurpose.com. It's on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, any of the podcast apps. You can also get it on SoundCloud if you don't do any of those podcast subscriptions. And it's women sharing these kinds of stories, right, in how they found that self-love, how they navigate that fear of wanting to step away from that comfort zone because it's killing them.
Fascinating. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming in today.
This has been
wonderful. And listeners, indeed, reach out. Check out everything Cole's doing. The links are in your show notes.
Yeah.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com.
Thanks.